Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When God made covenants with his people, it often involved the shedding of sacrificial blood. When God came to Abram, Genesis 15, said, I'm going to make a deal with you. He came to Abram in a dream, and he made these promises to Abram, and then he sealed the covenant this way. In Abram's dream, Abram described it this way: the Lord took an animal and split it open, and I passed through the split open part of the animal. And God and this pot of fire walked through too, representing Abram on one hand and God on the other. And in those days, the idea of having a covenant like that with a split open animal that you walk through is that you're saying, basically, if I break the deal, let that happen to me. Serious business. Well, that's way back in Genesis 15. But it wasn't much different when God made his covenant with the people of Israel in Exodus. He brought them out of Egypt. He said, you're my people. Here's my law. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And what did Moses do? Well, he gathered up 70 guys and they brought some oxen forward and they killed them. You know how much blood is in an ox? It's like 4.5 gallons. It's a lot of blood. Moses takes half this blood and throws it on the altar. That's God's part. Takes the other half and throws it on the people. The people said, we will obey your covenant. Blood everywhere. As Hebrews describes it, blood on the vessels of the altar, blood on the tent, blood on the people, blood everywhere. Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with these words. Well, what was the point of all this blood and this death? It was to show the seriousness of sin. You see, sin has consequences. Remember when God said to Abram, when God said to Adam, from the day that you eat of this, the fruit of this tree, you will surely die? St. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. And these Old Testament sacrificial rites, whether it's oxen or goats or calves, well, they all involve death and blood. Sin is a serious matter, and we shouldn't take it lightly. These sacrifices showed God's attitude of wrath towards sin. He's a holy God. We're not. You see, God doesn't just wink at our sins. He's holy. He hates sin. And he's angered by it. He's angered by those of us who do it, which is all of us. He's angered because we say we will do what he says, and we don't. But he can't let sin go unpunished. And the punishment is death. There must be blood. The righteousness of God's wrath must be satisfied. But God does not desire the death of the sinner. So instead, he provides a substitute, hoping that maybe we'll get the point. So these sacrifices, as horrifying as they seem, are also reminders of the depths of God's love for us. God does not delight in death. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He would much prefer to see people turn toward him and live with him and fellowship with him. If only we would fear, love, and trust in him alone. Well, these bloody sacrifices were simply a means to an end so that we would see the seriousness of our sin and God's wrath towards it. God's desire is to have fellowship with us. Fellowship or communion with us. Reconciliation with those who sin against him. That's why he goes to such great lengths to establish these covenants, first with Abraham, then with the Israelites, and indeed with you. In Moses' case, after he confirmed the covenant by throwing the blood from the basins onto all the people and on the altar, what happened? Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, and 70 of the elders of the Israelites went up on the mountain and beheld God. God had just said, to see me is death because of sin. But here, because of the of God's covenant with them, they go up on the mountain and have fellowship with God and behold him and eat and drink. This was a significant event in the life of the Israelites. Foundational event, in fact. It would be remembered forever, just as part of the Passover, leading God's children out of Egypt. Yet we're reminded tonight that that covenant was only temporary. It was incomplete. The blood of the bulls and the calves and the goats and the sheep and the lambs, it could only sanctify the flesh. Something more was needed. And something more was coming. A new covenant that God would make with them and with us. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord." People said, "We will obey all that God has said. We'll obey. We'll obey." But they didn't. And we don't. So God says, "I'm going to make a new covenant. A covenant that would surpass the glory of the first covenant. Because it would be characterized by the forgiveness of sins. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more," he says. And a new and greater covenant meant that he needed a new and greater mediator, priest, and a new and greater sacrifice. For there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Well, that new and greater priest or mediator is Jesus Christ himself. That new and greater sacrifice is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself, earning an eternal redemption for us sinners. Now, you may remember that Moses not only threw the blood of the oxen on the altar, he threw it on the people. Remember when they cried out, "Let his blood be upon us," to Jesus. when they yelled, "Crucify him?" Yes, his blood is upon us, but for forgiveness, for your forgiveness and mine. As St. Paul says, you were buried, therefore, by baptism with him into death. You see, that blood is sprinkled on us as in baptism, knowing that we are forgiven by that washing. And then it is given again to us in the sacrament of the altar, where the blood comes to sanctify you and me for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus says, on the night of his betrayal, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, you may not have noticed it in the readings, but Moses said, "This is the blood of the covenant." Jesus says, "This is my blood of a new covenant that I give you. My blood." Jesus' blood, not the blood of some ox or calf or some other lamb, the blood of Christ, poured out on the altar of the cross for us guilty sinners. Tonight we come not to celebrate an old covenant, but the new covenant in Jesus' blood. We rejoice that God has made this covenant with us through the death of his holy Lamb, Jesus Christ. Here we have tableship with the Lord our God. This is truly God's mountain, not Mount Sinai, but Mount Zion, where he comes to be with us. In the meal of this new covenant, we receive the gifts of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And we do so in thanksgiving for the sacrificial death he suffered for our sake and for the sins of all people. Amen. Dear Christian friends, I invite you to stand as we